Welcome to Matriarchal Medicine, a sanctuary designed to inspire women on their journey to matriarchy by reconnecting them with their intuition and innate wisdom. Join us as we explore the stories, wisdom, and medicine of women who are claiming this sacred and holy role. In each episode, we'll uncover transformative insights and practical tools to help you create the life you desire. Through inspiring interviews and meaningful conversations, Matriarchal Medicine invites you to step into your innate leadership potential and create a legacy of love, wisdom, and resilience. Hello, I'm your host, Audrey Thorpe, and in this episode, I am joined by my dear colleague, friend, and sister, Victoria. In this episode, Victoria shares her brief history of being a registered nurse, specializing in pediatrics for the past 20 plus years. She then takes us on her journey of spontaneous healing through her pelvic bowl, and how this embodied experience opened the door to her calling of facilitating healing in a more holistic way, all while reminding us that pleasure is our birthright. Let's dive in.
So I am so happy to have my dear friend, my dear sister, Victoria, on the podcast today. I have had the pleasure of knowing Victoria since 2019. She was in one of my deep containers. I think it was 6 months when we took it together. And we've just continued to support each other and love each other through all the ebbs and flows since. She is a powerful woman in her right. She is wise beyond her years. She is my person. She is my person. I love and adore her to pieces. So I'm going to stop gushing about her. So Victoria, tell us a little bit about who you are, how you navigate the world, and yeah, what magic flows through you.
Oh, thank you so much. I love talking to you always. This is such a treat to be with you, to share space with you, to share medicine with you. So who am I? Well, I am a spirit having a human experience, flesh experience. I am a medicine woman. I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother, a wife. Here for it all. I am a lover, a grief practitioner. So what does that look like in my everyday world? I've been a nurse for almost 25 years, nurse practitioner. But really, I am a medicine woman. That's kind of what I used to do. But what I do now is I have a love for scars, emotional and physical scars, and tending to my own scars. When I met Audrey, I was tending to my postpartum scars when we met, and I still am probably till my last breath. And that really lit a fire for what I am, what I do today, who I be. How I am in the world, and how that looks is that I'm a medicine woman who tends to scars in the pelvic bowl and tends to the scars in the gut and the microbiome. And I tend to those who have injured their microbiome and how they can find healing. So I walk this walk for myself and for all. That's me in a nutshell.
Just a nutshell, you know. Just, I think what we like to say, or what I like to say in our conversations, like just a regular Tuesday,
you know? Just a regular Tuesday, just a regular Saturday.
Just no big deal. It's how this is.
Healing myself and the collective, and all the energy that goes with that on the daily.
I know one of the reasons why I love you so deeply is because you start all of it. You've started all of it as inside out work, as doing this work for yourself. I also was tending to my postpartum scars in that container, and just seeing how, because again, like you said, we'll be tending to that to the day we die, because we're truly postpartum forever, as we know. And I just love how you truly embody all of what you talk about. Like, there is such an embodiment with you, and such a, I hold you in such high regard because of that integrity. So let's kind of like parse that out, because I feel like everything that you do is all woven together, from the microbiome, the scars, the pelvic bowl, all of it. It's all so intricately connected to each other. So yeah, how did you go from, because you've been in the pelvic bowl, you know, your scar tissue remediation, you've been in that for a while, and then you've kind of infused now this gut microbiome into it as well. And that's a beautiful relationship of how they can support each other. So can you speak more to how you decided to bring these modalities and this medicine, as it were, into your wheelhouse?
So that's a really good question. I love good questions. And so we'll see where this takes us. How I used, when you met me, I was very existential out in the ethers, loved talking about ideas. I didn't really feel safe in my body. And over the past 6 years has been a coming home to feeling a desire and intention and attention to feel safe, that I have my birthright is to feel wonderful and lively and vibrant in my body. And that's been my intention. But it wasn't like that 6 years ago. I didn't really feel like that. That wasn't my lived experience, but I had that intention. And every day since then has been a building towards that. And when I found Ellen Heed, my mentor, for STREAM, scar tissue remediation in the pelvic bowl, I had a lived experience of what was possible. I truly had 2 hours of complete magic. I had a spontaneous healing. And I realized, like, I want to know what that's about. I want to know and live that for myself and give someone that experience in my daily work and my daily purpose. And that set me on the path. And in the inside out work, the invitation in STREAM and pelvic bowl scar tissue remediation is inside out work always first. I never ask anyone to do something I haven't done.
which I feel is so important, like so incredibly important when it comes to working with the women that we work with. Like, even from like the midwifery model, we ask, I shouldn't even say midwifery, but in obstetrical care, it's, we walk into this room and ask such deep, intimate, deep, intimate questions. How many sexual partners do you have? Tell me about this. Tell me about that. And there's no exchange with that. There's no, oh, I'm going to give something of myself in this exchange. And I love the fact that, like I said, that you've done this yourself, and you can speak to obviously not their experience, but that you've experienced what you're asking of them in that exchange as well. So there is that congruency. Sorry, I just wanted just to name that like, that's so huge. And I don't think people recognize the volume that carries. Continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is. When you walk the walk, when you're asking someone to do something for the very first time, that they may be overwhelmed, fearful, not knowing what is on the other side, because you've walked the walk, there is this deep compassion and reverence for the process, because you know how huge it is. You know how huge it is to be on that ledge of leaning forward, of the, like, looking, like the initiation or starting on the quest to this, what I call the primordial, like the primordial ooze, the abyss, the preconscious womb of, we don't know what healing looks like. And then say, yeah, sister, I'm right there with you. And you light the torch. So it's been inside out work for sure.
So the spontaneous healing that you reference, can you expand on that a little bit?
I can see how people would think that would be charged. Like, what do you, like, I've been working this problem for freaking how long? You tell me I could just walk in here and have a spontaneous healing? I get it. I get that emotion. I can tell you what I see. I see with my clients. I see with myself over and over again. That it's not doing, it's being. And a remembrance of who you are as a divine soul, as a reflection and of divinity that you just kind of forgot for a sec. And the moment you remember who you are and align with that truth, the shift, that alignment creates shift in emotions, thoughts, perspectives, belief system that is this beautiful cascade of possibility and hope. And I guess that's what I talk about when I say spontaneous healing.
And all of that was experienced through scar tissue remediation in your pelvic bowl.
It started there. I went for help because after postpartum, I had pain with sexual penetration. And I wanted a different experience. I thought, like, you know, I wanted more pleasure in my life. So that's when I went and saw Alan Heed. And it was everything I wanted and nothing I knew. It was everything I needed and nothing that I knew. It was just not in my, like, frame of reference of what healing could be like. As a Western medicine person, I had a hope, but I just didn't know the possibilities. And what she introduced to me was the four domains of health. And that rocked my world and changed my perspective of what healing could be like. And that it really called to what holistic, an inclusion of a holistic care would look like. Biochemistry, biomechanics, scar tissue remediation, and then the existential, emotional, shamanic realm, which I always love and have been, you know, into for many, many years. So it blew my mind and changed everything and the trajectory of my life.
Can you just say again, like, experiencing pleasure is our birthright? Like, expand on that, because so many of us, myself included, you know, had the programming, no pain, no gain, you know, like, it, you know, healing has, because we've talked about this. So also for reference, Victoria also was my GAPS consultant, which I want to touch on at some point. And Victoria will be on this podcast multiple times because she's just medicine in herself. But at some point, I'd like to have a conversation about GAPS, whether that's this conversation or next. But I love how you framed that, walking me through this was, it doesn't have to be heroic. It can be gentle. It can be easeful. Oh, yeah. It doesn't have to be this. Yeah, just kind of expand on that for those who are listening.
So as a practitioner and as a person on the healing path, my experiences with healing was painful. It's like you said, no pain, no gain. Like, this is just what healing looks like. And when I met Ellen, that completely shifted. I aligned with, she gave me a felt experience in those 2.5 hours of what, of who I am. I was able to melt away all these beliefs, like put the belief systems off to the side, just put them in, like, as I took off my clothes to get on the table for hands-on, hands-in work. I took off the clothes, but I also took off the belief systems and I just put them on pause. And there was this invitation of, like, let's go slow. So she was the first practitioner who really spoke to what the autonomic nervous system needs and requires in body work. I was with practitioners who were like doers. They want an outcome from the session because they got some value from, like, if my client had a felt improvement or made this goal or got achieved this kind of relief, then I was validated in some way. And that was not how Ellen rolled at all. She brought in the autonomic nervous system. She helped me downregulate my nervous system. She helped me find for the first time a being with myself, being with relating that interconnectedness that I feel like is so crucial for body work, is that you find a practitioner who is attuned to you, to themselves. They know their rhythm, they know your rhythm, they know the difference. They can be with you in the darkest parts. And it's not about outcome. It's about finding what's there and inviting a shift. And it's not that practitioner's responsibility for healing or change or outcome, but it is what the client can hold and what is needed for healing at this moment. So the soul's contract with healing, with their divine source. And we are just this beautiful witness and guide through this amazing process. Yeah. I don't know if I answered your question, but that's what was up for me.
Again, you and I have talked a lot about finding resonance with who we invite into our spaces, as whether that be mentors or healers, and really the importance of that resonance, because who we work with, they don't heal us. Mm-hmm. They're there to evoke our own innate healing abilities. Mm-hmm. And that really comes from, I think that you touched on this beautifully, that comes from a sense of a perceived sense of safety for the nervous system to down-regulate and the nervous system to find just, I can just be. And when there's no, I feel like you said everything but ego, like the ego tied into the quote unquote healer, getting that validation of like, yeah, I did this and yeah, I did that. And my client had this experience. And I think when we remove that agenda, or when facilitators remove that agenda and they remove the ego, that's, and there is no tie to outcome. You know, and I think that's what I love about the truly embodied experience of self-healing. I don't even like saying self-healing work, but I mean, it's what fits. But the self-healing journey, it's not a, okay, today we're going to fix everything and it's going to be done and I'm going to purge and I'm going to go, you know, cry and, you know, vomit and have diarrhea and then we're fine. It's like, no, this is years. It's taken years to get to this point, and it's not going to all come undone in one afternoon because somebody did some, you know, specific acupuncture points and, you know, chanted some stuff. It's like, yes, the spontaneous healing is there and available, but through ease. And because she just allowed to be what was going to be, I think that's just so, so beautiful. And yeah, it's an incredibly intimate experience too. I mean, obviously, I mean, we're talking, you know, so hands on, hands in. So for those who don't know, can you kind of elaborate a little bit on what goes into those sessions?
So every session, there's no, what I love about it is that there's no cookie cutter way of approaching hands on, hands in. And a lot of times in our practice, the hands in work is the last thing that we do. It's not the first thing we do. You know, I think some people come in and they just want, like, so let's get down to the scar. Let's find it and get it out, move it on. Really, it doesn't look like that. My first session, and it doesn't mean that it's everybody's session, because I wouldn't say that it was an average session. I had that wanting, like I wanted to see. I had a curiosity of what was going on in my womb space. Why was there pain? The answers I got were so different than what I expected to find. But it first came down to head and neck work. So we talk, I think if you look on the Instagram streets, everybody's talking about how the throat mimics the yoni, the vulva, like the structures are the same. And it started with an autonomic nervous system. Did I have a felt sense of safety? How could she build connection with me? And that's what I do for my clients. At first, it always is connection. It always is safety. It always is security. Is that we, that's like the foundation of consent, right? And so it builds with cranial sacral work, head and neck work, and then a listening not to what my thoughts and wanted, but what my body wanted. And so she was always asking me in this body work, the body work I practice, where I do it now, and she taught me is to ask, is the body, what does the body want and require in this moment? And we don't override the body ever. And that really guided the session and guides my sessions too. Is that I don't, you know, this idea is like, well, Victoria feels safe, I'm going to let her touch my yoni. No. What does your tissue say? And we listen to that and we don't override that. And for the first, maybe for the first time in your whole life, that is a new concept and idea. And tissues were ready. And so then that looked like external vulva mapping. Initially bone holding, which I think is a beautiful practice that I've learned and I experienced. I don't think many people have the experience of bone holding, but it is this beautiful practice of holding bones, pelvic bones over clothes, and giving the person this beautiful three-dimensional experience of their pelvic bowl. I've never had experience that. Knowing where you are in space for the first time, building security, rapport with your person who is going to have hands in your most delicate, sacred parts very soon. A down regulation and also shifting, subtle shifts of bones and tissues. And the practitioner can feel this kind of sense of the quality of tissue, the tension that is held in the pelvic bowl before you even do anything more. So we found a birth trauma, my own birth trauma.
I was going to say, so your birth, like you being born from your mother or one of your babies?
Yeah. No, born wow. from my mother. So I had tension in my obturator internus on my left side that was decreasing blood flow. So it felt like pain with penetration felt like an electrical current. And so that is an indication of decreased blood flow, decreased nerve conduction. And when we put castor oil on this area and we're curious of what is coming up, a story came up about my mom. So I was my mom's third baby, and she waited till the last minute to go to the hospital. It was in 1976. So she had the traditional birth, and I was ready to come out. And the nurses told her, well, the doctors aren't here. You need to hold the baby in. So she held the baby in. And then when the doctor came, I came out. And that definitely impacts my life today. And that feeling of being held in. And also the stories came up about Catholic schoolgirl traumas and that kind of feeling like I had to hold the church out. I had to hold my, and also a complicated relationship with my mother, holding my mother out, having a boundary, definitely
emotionally impacted my obturator internus. And then as I spoke the story with castor oil on my obturator internus, everything melted. So I think it goes to show about story medicine, attunement of the practitioner.
Yeah.
Listening, being instead of doing is so crucial. And it doesn't mean that it stayed that way. I went home with exercises, but my biochemistry, I had a very congested liver that was impacting my tissues. And so this was an invitation to take care of all the parts of me to heal my pelvic bowl. And that's what I've been doing.
That's amazing. I mean, we all, like you said, like on the Instagram streets, we all know, like, you know, since The Body Keeps the Score came out, you know, the issues are in the tissues. Like we all say that. Like we all say it just very flippantly. But you had a lived experience of that, like a lived experience of your tissue being tended to, and that awareness was brought to this tissue. And I think how you word it is like the unraveling of all of it, that release just gave you that release on so many different levels. And yeah, like I said, the fact that you had a truly embodied experience of what people just flippantly say is so incredible, that you can speak to the issues in the, or in the tissues, but also the healing was in the tissues.
Mm-hmm.
That's so beautiful. So I had a previous podcast interview where she speaks to you know, sexual assault, and you know, you speak of, you know, birth trauma. What are ways that scars show up in the pelvic bowl that we might not even think of? Like, you know, how many of us, like outside of, you know, us being in this work, think about our birth and how, you know, pre and perinatal psychology plays in huge into how we navigate the world. But for like the average lay woman listening to this, what are things that, because we are so disembodied, most of us, and we don't realize what we actually are holding in our bowls and in our pelvic bowls, and how that might show up for people, how that might show up for women as they're tending, you know, their day to day.
It's a super good question. We'll go obvious and then we'll go abstract. We'll do biomechanics, physiology, and then we'll go existential. So most people see a pelvic floor PT or a pelvic care specialist like myself, because maybe they have stool and urine incontinence after baby. They have pain when they return back to sexual activity. They may have pelvic prolapse. They may have lower back pain. Also, what we see in the emotional existential world, maybe you have no symptoms. Maybe you fly through postpartum and you're just a whiz and everything's great until you hit perimenopause and menopause. And you may have a lot of emotional depression, anxiety. The existential realm really comes up for you, or that you may be having physical pain like prolapse or incontinence, things like that. But along the birth continuum, anything is possible for showing up. But when we think about when I think of the pelvic bowl, what it represents, it's a source of creativity. It is a source of power. It is where life and birth and death reside. It's where the cosmic meets the flesh and the real world. It is the epicenter of creativity. It is the epicenter of life.
Yeah.
And when we are, I'm still finding language for it, in the pelvic PT world, they talk about biotensegrity of, like, if you have a scar, you have a C-section scar, one area is cut, and then how that makes a ripple to all tissues in the in the close proximity area, and how that shifts them, and what body workers like Ida Ralph would say is structure informs function. What I'm tracking is our emotional structure, our life force of our pelvic bowl. That is center of how women, for lack of a better term, be in the world. And when we have an emotional, physical, biochemistry scar in that area, it really impacts our function, the structure of who we are, the essence of who we are in our pelvic bowl, impacts how we relate to ourselves and others, how we do our work in the world, our purpose, our unique expression of who we are is impacted if we have a wound in the pelvic bowl. And I don't know many people who don't.
Well, and that's, I love how you also referenced that there might be no symptoms, because again, myself absolutely included in this of, and I think I've mentioned this a couple of times already in this episode, that just being so disconnected and so disassociated for so long, it's like, maybe there are symptoms, but you're just ignoring them, like, just because you've silenced yourself for so long of, I don't even know what it feels like to feel good in my body anymore. So we just accept the, especially as postpartum women, we just, a little bit of dribble, a little bit of extra, just a little bit of pee, a little bit of incontinence, like a little bit of this. And we don't even realize that is a symptom. I mean, how many postpartum women jokes about, oh, I can't jump on a trampoline anymore, mm-hmm. or, oh, I can't laugh without peeing. It's like, mm-hmm. those are symptoms. Absolutely. You don't have to live like this. And yeah, so I think that is like the really big takeaway from just this little snippet is who doesn't, because again, we hold it all in our bowls. So who doesn't make it through 20, 30, 40, 50 years of life unscathed?
And it's okay.
Like, and it's okay.
It's okay. It doesn't mean you're broken. It doesn't mean anything is wrong. It's just like that beautiful tiger you would see on the Sahara that who has their scars and they have lived a life, and those are your badges of courage that you have lived a rich and full life, and they're to be loved and embraced, just like a warrior comes back from war, and we exalt his courage. We can exalt these scars also.
And that's what I love about the feminine approach to healing. It's with the reverence. It's with the honoring and the witnessing, and not with the agenda of how quickly can I get you better? How quick, better, quote unquote, like this, because what you are is not perfect. What you are is not how it should be. It's like, no, I am. I am where I am today because of these scars. I am where I am today because I've taken this journey. Absolutely. And this slow and gentle, and again, just you talking about holding the bones. I mean, if we think about, like, if our partners held us like that before intimacy, like, oh my gosh.
Super wet. I mean,
yes. That's our, I'm like literally getting like so like, oh my gosh, like hello, like the absolute foreplay that just being held with reverence And just that gentle check-in before, like, again, with anyway, I can go off on that for a whole thing, but holding, literally holding space and time for the women that are on your table. Just, oh, I love it. I love it.
Very juicy. I feel like it's the, if this is, I feel like I have found my niche. I have found my purpose. I feel so honored that anyone would trust me with their most sacred parts of their body. And what I'm tracking and finding, because they are so much more teachers that, I mean, I love my mentors, but the ones, the women who come for help and guidance, they are my biggest teachers. They have, like, my clients have always been my biggest teachers. Is this beautiful understanding that slow can be medicine all, the slowness is medicine all in itself. And it is an edge for a lot of us, myself and those that I tend to, is that I should be further along. I should be better than this. I should be healed by now. I should not be thinking these thoughts. Like, how, I have work to do. I can't be bothered by this. And that when you see somebody and meet somebody like me and all the my stream practitioner friends out there in the world, which are all literally all over the world, you can find them. That it's understanding when you meet someone who has who is attuned to this healing pace, is permission to go slow. And that there's this modeling of, I accept you as you are. I understand this beautiful balance of, I am perfect as I am, but I still desire more. And I can have both. I can have this complete acceptance of who I am at this moment and a desire for more. And I invite you to play with that. And that I love this flesh suit so much. I love humanity so much. And because I love it, there is a grief to it. And having this experience, as we all have said yes to this human flesh experience, there is this tone of grief. Because of the love that you have, the hurt is so profound sometimes in the actual flesh experience, in the emotional experience, in your experience with others and relationships with partners and families. And I believe that the body work and what we put into our bodies are the medicine to help us with love, emotional grief, and that we have tools and roadmaps to help us ride the wave of this human experience. And thank God we do. Thank God we do.
I learned so much from you during my intake. I mean, like, again, for my GAPS consultation, because again, we've known each other, we've talked on a pretty consistent basis for the past couple years, and just getting to receive from you, of just you witnessing my story, witnessing, yeah, me tell my story and reliving things and the grief that came up with that, and you know, the triumphs, the, you know, the trials, all of it, like you just witnessed it so beautifully. And you didn't wallow with me. You didn't, like, oh, you poor thing. Like, oh, you know, just, oh yeah, that sucks. It was, the reflection back was, well, of course you feel this way. Like, yeah, that makes sense. And just that simple reflection, yeah, that makes sense why you're feeling like that. Your body is responding exactly how you would expect it to respond, having experienced all of these things. And it wasn't met with, well, here's the protocol, so we're going to fix it. And here's this, and be on this for, you know, this regimen for X amount of days, and you'll be fine. It was, here's your invitation. This is what I recommend. This is what I've, and I love the fact too that you had, you know, started this journey for yourself around the same time, and you weren't telling me to do something that you hadn't experienced for yourself. You know, you knew, you know, some tips and tricks and helped me navigate, you know, some hurdles that I came up against. And just, again, I learned so much as a practitioner. Like, yes, I received as a individual, but I learned so much from you just in that short session. Even after all these years, I learned so much from you in that session as to how to beautifully just hold and just witness. I feel like you and Evie have been my two biggest teachers in life, especially on just holding space. And yeah, I just, it is truly, truly, truly a gift to receive from you on all levels that you offer.
Thank you for saying that. And anytime I could be on the same plane as Evie, because you know she's a special one. Like, because, you know, my background is in pediatric medicine. Yes. So I feel like they are the purest. They got it going on, and that we are all just trying to remember what they already know.
Yes.
They are the wise teachers. So thank you for that.
Oh my goodness, yes.
And when I think back to our session, we were definitely in the emotional scar tissue realm. And how, what I love about what I found for myself and what I'm finding for my GAPS clients is this, that love, security is so enmeshed in how we eat, what we eat, how we eliminate and pass stool. And so these the primacy of how the autonomic nervous system influences the way we feed, and the emotional scars that come up with family dynamics and all of that is a beautiful, just the intake is a beautiful healing of, it's almost like it's story medicine, similar to bone holding, but we are holding your story around food and getting that real rich multidimensional experience of what it was like to be introduced to food, what it was like to learn how to eat, learn how to eliminate, evacuate your bowels, like with all that, then it just like makes sense. You get an understanding of, oh, of course I'm here. Of course I would have this experience. There is nothing wrong or broken in me. This is just a normal reaction to the experiences that were in front of me. And that feeling of like love and compassion that we can give to ourselves is just priceless in starting this food ceremony, I call it, or healing and sealing the gut health. But really it is an invitation to come home and be more yourself.
The invitation, the facilitation, not the demanding and the manipulating and the managing. It's the invitation and the facilitation. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. I knew in September when I came back from my last workshop with Ellen in regards to scar tissue in the pelvic bowl, is that if I wanted to maintain the supple tissues in my pelvic bowl and all over my body, that I needed to address the biochemistry, that I could hold this healing, this like literally within 4 days, this transformation in my tissues. But I needed to shift my biochemistry. I needed to really tend to my liver congestion to make this a daily practice. That's what I wanted, supple tissues. what I got was so much more. What I got was, you know, tending to the emotional scars, the intergenerational scars of my family, healing myself, being my own mother, being my own grandmother. This was way more than I even expected and has blown my mind. And it doesn't mean that that's everybody's gaps experience. That was just mine. So I feel like whatever you get in these modalities, body work or gaps or whatever, homeopathy, it's what the person can hold. And it is perfect the way it is.
Mm.
And that I really say, like, please do not compare stories. This is your unique story and it is perfect for you, divinely designed for you.
I mean, I think that's it right there.
Yay!
So Victoria is, I have the immense honor of having Victoria as a guest teacher for my upcoming 3-month container called The Rooted Woman. She is going to share, so I am geeking out over being able to listen to her for 2 whole classes for this upcoming container. You can join the wait list. I have that listed in the show notes below. And I think we're going to conclude with Victoria. Can you share, obviously I'll have all your links in the show notes below also, but can you kind of share how people can work with you and receive from you, where in the world you're located for in-person? Cause I know that's part of your magic is in-person right now.
So you can find me. My practice is in Southern California, Northern Orange County. You can find me practicing attuned body work, hands-on, hands-in, body work for women there. My website is victoriajera.com, GYORE.com. You can find me there if you want to just chat about what are the possibilities of working with me. You can book a consult, we can talk, and you can find me on the Instagram streets, Good Vibe Mama, and I'll be in the link. I am out there. Hit me up on the Instagram streets and we can chit chat and talk about scars and food, my favorite things.
Thank you so much for your That's all for today's episode. So until next time, I pray that you are deeply nourished on your journey to matriarchy.